Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water, if thou knewest. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for living water. We're thankful for a wonderful salvation. We're thankful for the word that's been brought to us that we could believe. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings you've given us this day, and we want to praise your name and lift you up. You know the hearts and lives of all of us gathered here. You know those that are saved, those that are lost. Lord, you know the very condition of our hearts, Christians that have need this morning, maybe some very heavy needs. I ask you to meet those needs. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give and take your word and apply it to every heart here. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If thou knewest. Here was a woman of Samaria. Samarians were half-breed Jews. They were half Assyrian and half Jews. So they weren't really accepted that well by either group. The Jews certainly didn't accept them. They wouldn't have been accepted in the temple. They couldn't come and worship in the temple. And Jesus is coming from Nazareth to Capernaum, coming down to Jerusalem. He's passing through these Samaritan towns, you know. He's stopping off to eat. His disciples have gone into the town to get something to eat, and he's sitting resting by the well. And this woman comes out at this time of day, and she, as she comes up to the well, she has something to get water with, and he asks her for a drink. And she brings up the religious controversy all of a sudden, you know, said, you know, what are you doing talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Jews don't have dealings with Samaritans. What are you doing asking a drink of me? And Jesus came back with this answer, if thou knewest. If you only knew who you were talking to, if you only knew, I could give you living water. I'm not going to get into the story of the Samaritan woman. That's not what I want to talk about this morning. But here's the truth. He could have given her living water. In fact, he did give her living water. If you read the story, it's a beautiful, absolute beautiful story of the salvation of this lady and of a whole Samaritan village that gets saved. Because all of a sudden she found out something. She found out the one who had the living water. She found out the one who could change her life. She found the one who could do her some good. If thou knewest. What I've been thinking at the last few days on what you know. What you know. You know how important it is what you know? Be so very careful you don't let the devil steal what you know. Amen. Devil will give you 75% of the truth and just mix in 25% bad and take away your joy. Take away your victory. Take away your peace. Take away your battling for the Lord. Take away your confidence in the night. If thou knewest. Now, I think about all the people out here in the world, and for 42 years and better, I've been doing my best to let people know some things. I've tried to educate. I've tried to rebuke. I've tried to scare and warn. I've tried to shock people sometimes. I've tried to reach their intellect. I've tried to reach their emotions. Trying to get them to know that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Trying to get them to come to the place they'd take Him as Savior. You see, it did such a change in my life. When I got saved, I got changed. And I don't know about you. I don't know about your life, your experience. I know that I had religion for 10 years. It didn't do me a whole lot of good. But then all of a sudden, on one night, I found Christ as my personal Savior, and He changed everything. I mean, I got up and I walked away a different person. The change was drastic. Drastic change. One day's time in my life. A drastic change in what I believed and what I was going to live by and the standard I was going to live by. What a tremendous change. Because all of a sudden I knew some things. Now, one reason why many people do not know, we're going to have a mission conference next month, starting April 16th. We're going to bring in a bunch of missionaries, most of them our own, sent out of this church. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to listen to them tell us about what they've been doing. You see, we're spending an awful lot of money. We spend the majority of the money that comes into this church sending people out to tell people who don't know. We don't spend most of the money here. Sometimes, some years, it's above 70% of the offerings that come into this total work that go out to missions. I'm not talking about here. Why? Because there are people that don't know. Now, there's some people that don't know simply because they haven't heard. I hope that's not any of you in here today, but let's read about them a little bit. Look with me in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 8. Very familiar passage, but it illustrates the point that I want to bring out first of all. There are many people in this world who do not know the Savior.
They do not know salvation. They do not know peace. They do not know happiness. They do not know victory in their lives. And the reason why is they've never heard.
Beginning at verse 8 in Romans chapter 10, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? They won't. They can't. It's impossible. You're going to call on somebody you haven't believed in? No. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They won't. They won't believe in him they have not heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? There you go. Oh, you say, I don't like preachers. Well, a lot of people don't like preachers, but I love them. I love preachers. I'm glad somebody preached to me. I'm glad somebody came to my house and preached to me in my living room. I'm glad somebody preached to me in an auditorium. I'm glad somebody preached to me. People say, don't preach to me. Don't preach to me. No, please preach to me.
Amen.
How shall they hear without a preacher? Thank God for good preachers. How shall they preach except they be sent? There again. As it is written, quotation from the Old Testament, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I've known some fellows with really ugly faces, but beautiful feet. According to this scripture. They might have had an ugly body, but they had beautiful feet. Because they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Even when you have the preaching, even when the preachers are sent, even when the Word of God is there, even when the Word of faith is presented to them, they have not all believed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? I guess one of the most discouraging things for a preacher, a missionary, a soul winner, a witness is the lack of fruit. The lack of response, the lack of blessing, the lack of people getting saved and believing the report. Lord, Isaiah cries out, Lord, who hath believed our report? Lord, I'm preaching to them. Lord, I'm knocking on doors. Lord, I'm talking to people. Lord, I'm passing out tracts. Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I'm crying. Who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here's a principle right here. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. One of the reasons why, way back when I first started preaching, you have all sorts of preachers to look at. You have all sorts of examples out there. Some of them preach one way. They tell nice, tear-jerking stories about Mama's Bible and somebody dying on the deathbed and the little child that's sick, you know, and you begin to think, oh, they just get you all tear-jerky, you know. Others of them, why, they read the newspaper every week and they preach on what's in the newspaper that week, so they're up and they're current and they're alive and whatever. Some of them tell jokes all the time, one joke after another joke after another joke. There are lots of preachers you can follow. That verse right there was one of my watchwords. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What am I going to do? What am I going to preach? I'm going to preach the Bible.
Amen.
As straight and plain as I can possibly preach it.
Amen.
Because it's God's Word, not mine. It's not my personality to save souls. It's not my ability to manipulate words. It's the Spirit of God that comes and touches people's heart, and He's promised to bless His Word. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You want to find a powerful Christian, you want to find a happy Christian, find somebody who really believes the Word.
Amen.
You want to find a miserable Christian, find somebody doubting the Word. He said right here, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Now the way to get saved is calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday I was out at Maria's house and she said, how did you get saved? How did you get saved? She's direct. This woman's direct. I mean, she'll walk up to you and give you the question, and then you say, why? How? Give you a hard time. She's direct. I like that, though. Because I'm direct.
What did you believe? I believe Jesus Christ was a merciful God and that He'd save a sinner that called upon Him. I'd heard in my life that God would save sinners if they'd really repent of their sins and seek Him. That was about the extent of what I believed. Well, a lot of things I believe now I didn't believe then. A lot of things I have confidence in now that I didn't have confidence then. And I guess if Berlin and I hadn't believed this Bible, we'd probably split up a time or two. But by the grace of God, you know, He said, well, I got to put up with you. And she said, I got to put up with you. And so we put up with each other. Amen. There are days. Amen? Amen? There are days. Every one of us has bad days. I never have a bad hair day. Never have a bad hair day. All my hair days are good. Some people do not believe simply because they haven't heard. And one of the purposes of our life ought to be that people hear. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't heard anything about religion. It doesn't mean that nobody's in their town. There are people in this town right now that do not know how to get saved. I was out in Bryan and several of us were out in a neighborhood one day and I walked up to a teenage boy, 15, 16 years old. He's sitting out on his porch and we'd been preaching in the streets and passing out the tracts. And so I walked up and I just sat down by this teenage boy and I began to ask him what he believed about God. He didn't even know what I was talking about. He didn't have a Bible. There wasn't a Bible in the house. He didn't know the gospel. He hadn't heard. What are you living for? There are people all around you that have not heard. They haven't heard there's a Savior. They haven't heard there's a salvation. They don't even know they're a sinner before God. Take the Ten Commandments out of the school. You can't teach the Bible in the school. You can't make any decisions in the school about a lot of things like that. And there's some kids that grow up. They don't ever go to Sunday school. They don't ever go to church. Their mothers and daddies aren't saved. They don't have a Bible. All they know is this world and what the world's given them. Thank God for years past in America when they taught you to read, reading the Bible. Amen. Thank God when they gave you memory verses and memory chapters where you could read and study and hear the old stories. I'm thankful for a grandmother that would read me the stories in the Bible about Samson and David, Goliath and King Saul and Elijah and Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. I'm thankful that she read those stories to me. There's some people out there that aren't saved because they have never heard. They don't believe because they've never heard. But you know, there's another problem. Look in the book of Hebrews with me. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word preached did not profit them. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. The word's preached, but you get no profit from it. The word's preached, but no benefit comes your way. The word is preached, there's no blessing. What's the problem? He said, not being mixed with faith. The Bible says, and if you look over at the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, I'm not going to go there now, but the whole chapter is about faith, called the faith chapter by many people who designate different chapters in the Bible, one thing or another. You ought to read it. It is a roll call of heroes. It is a roll call of faithful people. It is a roll call of giants. It's a roll call of people who believed God, stepped out by faith, walked by faith, and got victory. Some of them didn't get victory in this life, but they got victory spiritually and they got victory all over. But many of them got tremendous victories in this life. The Bible says some of them even received the dead raised to life again. Others withstood all sorts of things that came their way by faith, by faith. The word is preached and it goes out to all these different ears. And some people doubt it and lose the blessing and some people believe it and gain the blessing. I want you to think about that a minute, because that's a principle that not only goes for salvation, it goes through every area of the Christian life. What a confidence to believe I have the truth. I don't know whether you do or not. I do. I believe I have the truth. I believe what I hold in my hands is the truth about raising children, about building a marriage, about how to conduct the church, about what your character should be like, about how you should worship God, how you should approach to God. About what the end times are going to bring, heaven or hell. You see, in this book, there are only two futures. They're not three, four, five, or seven. There are only two futures. There is a heaven, where everything is happy, wonderful, beautiful, and God's blessing. And there's a place called hell where everything is bad and ugly and it lasts forever. There are no other futures. So everybody sitting in this room today, I don't care whether you're old or young, whatever, you have a future. It's either in heaven or in hell. And it isn't by some predetermined lottery that God took somewhere years ago. It's all in Christ. In Christ you have heaven. In Christ you have forgiveness. In Christ you have salvation. Outside of Christ you have hell. It's all in Christ. Everything has to do with Christ. That's why Christ needs to be preached. That's why we need to witness to the person that's bringing the sacks out from the grocery store. That's why we need to talk to the person on the plane that we're sitting next to as we fly from one city to another. That's the reason why we need to tell the gospel stories to our children. That's the reason why when we're dating somebody, we ought to talk to them about the Lord. Amen. There are a lot of broken hearts because people have married people who weren't saved. Saved people have married people who weren't saved. You say, what difference does that make? We're on love. We're just going to live on love. Yeah. Living on love is wonderful till somebody has to wash the dishes. Living on love is wonderful till somebody has to get up and go to work. Living on love is wonderful till you got the dirty washing. Living on love is wonderful till you got differences over how to raise the kids. Oh, love's wonderful till you decide which church do we go to, how my kids are going to be raised, what are we going to believe, what's going to be the standard of this home. Then all of a sudden, love seems to go right out the door and the fighting begins. There's an awful lot of fighting in this life. Did you know that? And sometimes the fighting, the anger, the irritation, and all of that overcomes the love. I tell you what you need to do. You need to base your life on God's Word. You need to base your marriage on God's Word. You ought to date that way. I just got through visiting. I went through Colorado and I came back. I went about 400 miles out of my way to visit an old friend. They used to date in college. Verlie and I were already married, but they were dating in college. When they went out on a date, they would take their Bibles and read their Bibles and pray. And they prayed that God would show them whether they were meant for each other. Well, their marriage has lasted. They're still around. He's an old retired preacher now. Still doing some. But by the grace of God, a faithful witness. Faithful testimony. But it tickled me. I'd never seen anybody pray when they went on a date. But that's a pretty good idea. If you're going with somebody that can't pray with you on the date, maybe you better kick him or her out. Get somebody that can pray a little bit. Maybe ask God for a little bit of leadership or whatever. You know what this Word needs to be effective in your life? It needs to be mixed with faith in you. There's a promise in the Bible of eternal security that once you're saved, you're always saved. That if you ever really get saved, you're born again of the Spirit of God. You're a spiritual being and you can never die. Not physically, but spiritually, you can never die. You're going to live with God. You're going to be His child. That got mixed with faith in me. I didn't particularly believe that when I got saved. When I got saved, I wasn't sure about that. I had a problem with it. I had to study my Bible for verse after verse after verse to see if I could believe that strange doctrine of eternal security. And I came to the place, it got mixed with faith in me. And to me, I think it's one of the greatest blessings of my life. I know I'm saved. How do you know I'm saved? How do you know you're saved? I believe what God said about it. That settled the problem for me. This is what God teaches. This is what God says. If that be true, I lay down on my bed at night comfortable. I've had 63 years to walk this earth. 2/3 of that time I've been preaching the gospel. I'm thankful for what I've got. I'm thankful for the things that have come my way. I'm thankful for some things of the Word that have been mixed with faith in me. Because you see, that lets me know. If you only knew. He's talking to that woman by the well, and he said, if you knew. If you knew who I am, if you knew what I could do for you, if you knew that, what it would do for you. And by the grace of God, it happened, and she knew it, and all of a sudden she goes back in and she gives a testimony to the whole town. I know! Who else could this be? And she came back out. What a change. You know what? I bet that village was changed forever. Couldn't help but be. That many people get saved, that many people have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that many people coming to believe in Christ. Man, what a change happened in that village. Some things happened. What is mixed with faith in you, my Christian friend? I'm talking to you, you are born again today. What is mixed with faith in you? Does what God say about a marriage, is that mixed in faith with you?
Is it so mixed in faith you're going to live by it? Young people, you're going to school, you're going to high school, you're going to middle school, going to college. Boy, you're going to meet a lot of different ideas. Some of them are going to look good. Boy, instant gratification. This is the way to have fun. This is the way to live. This is the life. You're going to have a lot of things come out there. How much of the Word of God is mixed with faith in you? How much do you believe God? Which crowd do you want to hang out with? God help us. We get in the wrong crowd so many times and we get hurt. It's not that these people are so bad. It's just they hurt our faith. And when they hurt your faith, my friend, they've taken away happiness and peace and joy from you. They've taken your victory. And though you're victorious in Christ, you walk around like you're defeated. Because you believe you are. Not mixed with faith. The promises are just the same for all of you. Not every one of you has a different life. There are no two of us going to have the same life. I do not have the same life my dad and mother had. I was born right in the midst of the Depression. It was tough times. We grew up on some hard things. But you know something? I didn't have the troubles my folks had. Boy, times have been good to me. Times have been easy for me. And some of you really don't know what a hard time is. You haven't seen it. You may. I hope you don't. I hope you don't. My children do not have my same life. Every one of my children. I have 5 children and 10 grandchildren. And I look for them and sometimes I wish they could have everything I have. But they won't get everything I have. They won't have my troubles. Nor will they have all my blessings. They will not have the same path to walk. Every single one of us has a different path to walk. But the truth in this book fits for everybody. The truth on how to live and the type of character and the type of people you ought to be with and the type of things you ought to stand for. Some of those friends you got in school, kids, you guys are trying to run with them and be like them and they need to hear what you know. You need to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Amen. You say, they'll kick me out. Of course they will. Best thing ever happened to you, get kicked out of some places. Be the best thing in the world happened to you to lose some of your friends.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, listen to me. You got a marriage. You got a marriage in trouble. You hurting. Believe this. Mix it with faith. Look at the principles of a godly marriage. Look at what God wants. And then put as much of it in your practice as you possibly can. And by the grace of God, love your partner. Even when they're unlovely. That's what God did to you. When God loved you. When you were lovely. That might be the way I went after Verlene. She was very lovely. 16 years old and never been kissed. Ha. Man alive. Did she fill her clothes? Couldn't keep my eyes off of her. And I remember we were actually broke up at the time. We always fussed and fought. We were broke up at the time and a buddy of mine asked my permission to date her. I said, you can go ahead, but I'm going to marry her. He said, ha, she's not even dating you. I said, it's all right. I'm going to marry her. Well, in a few months we were married. What a wonderful thing to build a good marriage. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. But you know, nobody's perfect. I love her. I've been married to her 45 years. I dated her for 2 years. That's 47 years I've been putting up with that poor woman. But you know what? She's not perfect. She's got warts and flaws, wrinkles and gray hair. The old gray mare ain't what she used to be. But I haven't met anybody I'd trade her for yet. You know what she's done? Through hard times and bad times, she's believed the book. She mixed it with faith and stuck with me. Oh, I've made some moves. I've changed some things in my life. Not only when I got saved, but after I got saved and started preaching and then left the denominational name and started out on a different route. She never got a call. God never said, Verlene, do this. Verlene just had to trust me, and that's pretty hard sometimes. She had to trust me. She had to follow me. Boy, sometimes she did not want to follow me. We've had some real discussion. But hey, she's still with me. And we're here 45 years later. Praise God. Mix it with faith. God says some things about the marriage. Mix it with faith. God tells you to love your husband. God tells you to love your wife. Mix it with faith. If you don't mix it with faith, you're not going to win.
The same word preached to everybody. Some people get it, some people don't. Not because they didn't hear, but because they would not mix it with faith. You need faith. I'm convinced there's a very simple answer to most things in life, and one of them is faith. God blesses faith. God does not bless sight. God does not bless your vision. God does not bless your experience. God blesses faith. And faith many times acts in opposition to what you can see, in opposition to what your experience is. Two different kinds of people in this old world here. Those that have not heard and those that have heard and have not believed, not mixed with faith. But the tragedy is the same. Neither one knows. What do you know today? I remember Brent and I walking up to a big, beautiful motorhome. And the guy was outside washing it. Had a nice house, nice home over here off of Bandera. We began to talk to him about the gospel. He said, "Oh, you can't know. You can't know." I said, "I'm saved." He said, "Oh, you can't know you're saved. Nobody knows they're saved." I know. Do you know? Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? How do you know? You take God's word and believe it. That's the simple thing. It's the only way you can know. See, I can't know because I'm good. I can't know because I'm something else. But I can know because of what God said, and I believe what God said, and that lets me know, and knowing gives me peace. Look with me at the Gospel of John again, and go to the 14th chapter in verse 27. There are some tremendous things in Christ. There are some blessings that are beyond the imagination in Christ. One of them is peace. Look at verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." A couple of phrases in that song y'all sang were just right down on what I was going to be preaching today. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." You know what you can do tonight? You can go to bed in peace. You can go to bed in peace. You know what you can do tomorrow? You can get up and walk in peace. You can have the peace of God in your heart. You can go through a hospital experience. You can go through the death of a family member, even the death of a child. You can go through some troubles in your marriage and troubles with your kids. And anybody's married got troubles. Anybody got kids got trouble. Talking to somebody one time, they said, "Well, I hate to be a trouble." I said, "Well, you are. Everybody's trouble. I'm trouble. Think all the trouble I caused Berlin. Think all the trouble I caused all my kids. I caused them some trouble. I could be very troubling, and so can you. Do you know what? Where people are, there's trouble. People get sick. They have heartaches. They have headaches. They have nosebleeds. They have whatever. We have a lot of trouble. You know, you can walk through trouble in peace in Christ. Amen. He said, "My peace I give unto you." Was that a false giving? No, it wasn't. It was a real thing, and you ought to be living in it. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the debts, in the midst of the problems, in the midst of the fights, there ought to be some peace in you because you've taken the Word of God and mixed it with faith. But look here, chapter 15, verse 11. Same book, chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." I am a happy camper. You know the optimist? The optimistic Christian and the pessimistic Christian both end up at the same place. But the optimistic Christian has more fun on the trip. That's the truth. "Oh, I'm so sad and I'm so miserable and the world's just all coming down." Bless your heart. Some of you are that way. I feel sorry for you. I hate to stand at the door and say, "How are you?" because you'll tell me. And then I have a hard time being happy and up and high because I know you're so down and sad and blue and whatever. But you shouldn't be, because He said, "I want you to have my joy. And I want your joy to be full." How in the world can my joy be full? I've got income tax coming up next month. I've been fighting that thing and I owe this, I owe that. How can my joy be full? I've got a sick kid. How can my joy be full? I've got an afflicted kid. How can my joy be full? I just lost my job. It can. And it should be, and it will be, if you'll mix a little faith with the promises of the Word of God. If thou knewest, you can know. If thou knewest, if you just knew, Christian friend, how much joy there is in walking with Jesus and believing Him. There are no promises of blessing to you when you don't believe. You let somebody steal your word. You let some college teacher, college professor, some high school teacher make fun of the book, bring up some supposed problems with the book, and take it out of your hand and out of your mind. And so when you open it up, you say, I don't know if it means what it says. He just stole your joy. Oh, some well-meaning friend will tell you, well, you really ought to do this. It's against the Word of God. It's against what God told you to do. But they say, well, you really ought to do this because that's the best answer for your problem. And you listen to him and you look at the book and you say, I don't know. I don't know. He just stole your joy. He just walked in without a gun and just took your joy. You don't know. If you knew the peace was in Jesus, if you knew the joy that was in Jesus, you'd believe. You'd believe. You know, chapter 16, verse 33. Chapter 16 of John, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Now notice what he says. Here is a prophecy, a prediction. It is true. Pay attention to this one. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Paul said, you ought to stay single, not get married, because if you get married, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. Yeah, you get married, you shall have trouble in the flesh. That is a lead pipe cinch guarantee. You want a guarantee? Get married, you shall have trouble in the flesh. In the world, let me give you another guarantee. Let me give you one. This is a good one. In the world, you shall have tribulation. In the world, things aren't going to go right. In the world, cars won't run. In the world, fires happen. In the world, friends lie and cheat and steal and people do all sorts of terrible things. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But look what he said. Yeah, I lost my place. But be of good cheer. Wait a minute. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. I mean, God walking in the flesh says, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Hey, buck up. Hey, so what? The dog died. No big deal. Big cheer. I have overcome the world. There's victory. There is victory. The victory is in Jesus. All your blessings are keyed in Jesus. Everything that comes to bless you depends upon Jesus. It does not depend on you being a success in this life. It doesn't depend on the job that you have. It does not depend upon the health that you have. It depends on Jesus. He said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. John chapter 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you'd eat the loaves and were filled. Isn't that us? Oh, Lord, we seek you for what you give us. Not for who you are. Not for all the promises you give. Lord, we seek you for the bread we eat. But look what he says in verse 27. Here's some good advice. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Now, of course, we know we have to work to eat. You need to be faithful at your job, certainly. Nothing wrong with you going into business for yourself. Nothing wrong with you trying to make it better on your own. Yet, listen to what he says. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Everything you can buy with your money perishes. That new car, isn't it nice? It smells so good. It drives so well. Oh, it's got such good gas mileage. Oh, it is so comfortable. It is a piece of junk waiting to happen. I don't care if you paid $50,000 for a Mercedes-Benz. It is a piece of junk waiting for the junkyard. Where's it going to end up? In a museum someplace? You're going to drive it the rest of your life? Not on your life, you're not. It is a piece of junk. Maybe an expensive piece of junk. But that expensive piece of junk is headed for the trash pile. Now, I don't mind driving it while it's here, but don't set your hope on it. It's nice you got it for a while, and you've been blessed that way. That's all right. Enjoy it. Don't set your hope on it. Don't spend that labor that you give for that which is going to perish. He said, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And then John chapter 8, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. If you just knew, if you just knew the things that belong unto your peace. That woman sitting at the well, if she just knew. This Jewish rabbi she's arguing with is God walking around in the flesh. If she just knew. If you just knew today how God would bless you in the years to come if you'd walk by faith in His Word. You see, I'm looking at it from the other end. Some of you don't understand it, but I've been doing this a long time. I look back 42 and a half years. I look back when I said, I'll do this because God said it, and I'll do this because God said it. And I turn around and look at blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. Oh, troubles. You think you can follow God's Word and not get troubles? Oh, no. Troubles come your way. And the world, even Christianity, will turn against you when you stand right for God. Because most of the world wants to go the other direction. Oh, but I tell you what, if you could just see it from my perspective. I remember when I was 17 and my dad wanted a 40-year-old head on my shoulder. But he said, I can't put a 40-year-old head on a 17-year-old body. What a tragedy. That is a tragedy. I had a daddy tell me just the other day, he said, oh, I'm trying to talk to my son. I'm trying to get him to see what he's doing and where he's going and the choices he's making, but he can't see it. If you just knew. If you just knew which door you open, which choice you make, where it was going to take you. My Christian friend, if you just knew the blessings God has for you, because He wants an abundant life for you. He did not save you so that you would be miserable for 70 odd years. God saved you to give you an abundant life. But the only way you get the abundant life is making right choices. Choices by faith. By faith I will love. By faith I will obey. By faith I will serve. By faith I'll praise His name. By faith. Some of you sitting in this room are lost. You're on the road to hell. You may not believe it. You may not understand it. Everything I'm saying may be just a bunch of religious claptrap flowing across the top of your head. I read you about two classes of people in the world that are lost. Some have never heard. And some have heard but haven't believed. I don't know where you are, but the tragedy is the same. You still don't know. You still don't know. If you just knew. If you just knew what God would do for you, if you just knew the beauty of heaven, if you just knew what awaits a Christian, if you just knew, you'd jump out of your seat and run down here and beg God to save your soul. If you just knew. I wish sometimes I could put myself in your place for 5 minutes and make the decision for you and it'd stick. Oh, I'd do it. I would do it. But I can't. All I can do is persuade the best I know how with all the ability that I've got and all my failures and lack of ability that are apparent. Somebody criticized D.L. Moody one time. He was up preaching and they sent a note up from the audience and had one word on it, said, fool. He said, I've seen a lot of people write letters and not sign their name. This fellow signed his name, didn't write the letter. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what he preached on, and that man got saved that meeting. One of the reporters that was out, Moody had about a third grade education. He didn't speak correct English. You read some of his sermons today, some of them they've corrected, and they've corrected them too much. They've taken a lot of fire out of them by correcting them. But at any rate, this fellow was criticizing him because he's a well-known evangelist, drawing tremendous crowds, and he's saying, your English is so poor. You're just butchering the English language. He said, I'm using all the knowledge of English I have for the glory of God. What are you doing with yours?
That's right. Amen.
Huh? What are you doing with yours? Hey, it's all English I know. It's the best I got. If you just knew. This is the best I got. I don't know how to make it any plainer. I don't know what to do anymore to make the Word convincing. It is the truth. It is beautiful truth. It is truth that changed my life. And has ordered my life for 42 years. And it's blessed me. I would love the same for you. And my dear friend, I went into the front bedroom of a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, the last day of August in 1957, lost on the road to hell, bound in my sin and my unbelief. And I walked out of that room, first day of September 1957, saved, confident, that God had forgiven my sins and saved my soul and changed my life. I've been preaching the gospel ever since to as many as I can, as well as I can. If you only knew the blessings of heaven, you'd sign up today. You don't even have to think about hell. That's bad enough. I preach on that quite often. The only two places you're going to go, but if you just knew the blessings of heaven, you'd jump up and run to go.
Dyer just got back from Paris. Oh, she's telling us all about it. Amanda just got back from Poland. She's telling us all about it. These great world travelers, they're having such fun. If you just knew the blessings of heaven, you'd try to get on a train today. Anybody want to go to heaven? Why don't you come on along with me? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Commit faith to the Word of God. Believe Him and trust Him. Be saved today. Let's stand and sing number 249. My Christian friend, if God has spoken to your heart and there is a burden, there is some reason to pray, there's some need, this altar is open for you. And my dear friend, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost, you need to be saved, you've heard the gospel, and God has mixed some faith with it, why don't you trust Christ today and take Him as your Savior? Sing it out. Mix a little faith with the Word of God. Let Him have His way. Oh, Lamb of God, I'll come. Will you come? Will you come? You want to go to heaven? Take Jesus as your Savior. Only way in. Ah, don't wait on anybody. Take God's word and trust it. Commit your life to it. He'll bless you beyond anything you've ever known. Commit your life to the Word of God, to the promises. Will you come? Will you come? Come to Jesus. Today's the day. Right now's the time. Father, how we thank You for the promises in Your Word. We thank You how You have fulfilled them in my life, to me, over these years. I praise You for Your blessings, Your kindness, and Your mercy. God, I pray for every Christian in this room. Lord, help us to rely on You and Your Word and live an abundant life. I pray You to hear the prayers that are prayed in this place and answer them. And then, dear Lord, I pray for the lost people in the sound of my voice. Lord, they don't know. If they just knew, they'd trust You today. I pray for them that they, by faith, may know You as Savior and Lord and believe Your Word. Have Your way in each life. I ask these things in Jesus' name. God bless you.